to each one this morning in Jesus' name. This morning you can turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11. We're going to be reading the chapter there. A couple weeks ago, as I knew my turn was coming to preach, and I was asking, what am I going to preach about? And my mind went to Hebrews 11 and the faith chapter. And I asked myself the question, we have a list of people in this chapter. What is it about their faith? What was it about them that they were entered into the hall of faith? So I read the chapter, and we're going to read the chapter here this morning. The book of Hebrews, there's not sure who the author of Hebrews was, but it was written in the first century, believed to be written to the Jews that were facing persecution, facing trials at that time. And Hebrews is somewhat divided into four main parts. The first part, the first two chapters of Hebrews, Jesus as being the superior to angelic beings. And then the second part that it's divided into is chapter 3 through 10, as Jesus being superior to the Mosaic law. And then the third part is the call to faith and endurance. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to talk about faith and looking at living by faith and enduring. And then the conclusion, the fourth part of the Hebrews chapter, Hebrews was written as exhortation and remarks in chapter 13. Chapter 10, verse 25, it seemed like they were going, it appears like they were going through hard times, and some of them had ceased to meet together, and the author here was reminding them of the endurance they once had and called them to endure and not to shrink back. So we're going to go ahead, we're going to read the chapter here, chapter 11 of Hebrews. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, and as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, though Isaac shall your offspring be named, he considered that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessing on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of their staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn may not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had become encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more to say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should be made perfect. What is that faith? What does that faith mean? If you look up the word faith in Webster, it says complete trust in something or someone. In Strong's, if you look up the word, the Hebrew word is pestis. It means persuasion that is credence, moral conviction of religious truth and the truthfulness of God. And if you'd enjoy doing a word search and you looked that up, and if you looked up that word faith in Strong's, there is actually 4 other words in the Bible that is not faith that has the very same meaning. In Acts 17:31, the word assurance is used. In Romans 3:26, the word believeth means the same thing as faith. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 is a belief of truth. Titus refers to the same faith as fidelity. And Hebrews 10:9 says to believe to the saving of the soul. All these words have the same meaning as the word faith that is used here in this chapter. So faith, complete trust in God and what he says. Here in Hebrews 11 and throughout the scripture, we have reminders of this kind of faith. Jesus in the Gospels often referred to this kind of faith. 2 of those in Matthew 8:10, he replied, I have not found so great a faith or a complete belief in all of Israel. Also in Luke 8:48, when the woman with blood was healed, Jesus said, thy faith or complete belief and trust has made you whole. Noah, here in this chapter, whether he had seen rain, there's been arguments on whether Noah had seen rain before the flood or not. And there's not 100% proof either way. But whether he saw rain or not, he was asked to prepare for something that he had never seen. And it would have been hard to imagine. Yet, his complete trust in God, he built an ark, just as God had asked him to do. Abraham was willing to pick up and move when God called him to a new place. And then again in verse 17 through 19, Abraham trusted God so much that while God had promised him a son, and Isaac was to be this promised son, he believed God to the point that while he would have offered him up for a sacrifice, he believed that God would raise him back from the dead. What is faith? Fully trusting God, believing his promises, even when times are hard, it doesn't feel good, and we can't see the end picture. Faith is not necessarily how you feel. Faith is a choice. One may feel like they have little faith, and yet your faith is strong. On the other hand, you may feel like you have great faith, and yet there's little faith at all. What is the importance of faith? In Hebrews 10:37 to 38, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Romans 1:16 to 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then also in verse 6 of chapter 11, where we just read, without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God, and must believe God exists, and that he rewards those that seek him. We must believe his promises and fully trust him. In our society today, people want the blessings of God. But they want to pick what areas of life God can move in their life. It sounds like this: God, bless my finances, bless my health, give me safety. But I can't trust God to walk through the hard times. Or a little closer to home, maybe I avoid asking God his will in a certain area of my life because where he might ask you to go or what he might ask you to do. Ultimately, we're saying, I don't trust you. God has shown over and over in his word, he is trustworthy. He has been faithful to those that believe him. I was talking to someone this week, and life has been a struggle for them. And he made this comment to me. He said, of course, we would love a miracle, but our prayer is to be content with where and the path that God has for us. Do you trust God? Regardless of how it feels and where it takes you, that God will do what is best for you, and you will trust him and allow him to direct your ways. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It was interesting as you look across the different people listed here in this faith chapter, God isn't a respecter of persons. You have a deceiver, you have a murderer, you have a harlot, you have disobedient, yet all forgiven by God's mercy. And then ones that trusted God regardless of where it took them, and thus became great men and women of faith, listed in this chapter as an example for us. John 3:16, God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If you think about Abraham for a little bit, he never saw the full promise. He was promised inheritance as the sand of the seashore, as the stars. He never saw that full promise, but yet he died believing that God's promise would be fulfilled. His faith was actually so strong, if you think about it, how easy or how long it takes for, as your generations go by, for people to forget what has happened. And yet if you look at Abraham and the promise, his faith was so strong and how it passed on down through generations and how they stood upon that promise. If you had to wait that long for a promise, would your faith still be strong? Joseph was sold into prison as a young man, wrongfully accused, yet his belief and trust in God was not changed, regardless of what life had sent his way. And on his deathbed, he again showed his belief in God's promise by requesting that his bones be carried back to the promised land. And then also we have two times in this chapter where it is talked about as group faith. One of those being the crossing of the Red Sea, and the other when the group walked around the walls of Jericho and the walls fell down. A reminder of what God can do when we allow to Him to move, when we have complete trust in Him. Verse 37 and 39, commend those that have faith and that were died and tortured, receiving the promise not in this world. Each of these had their eyes fixed on the goal. Hebrews 11:16 says, if they had been thinking of that land which they have gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared for them a city. Again, the importance of faith in verse 6. It is impossible to please Him. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe He exists, and He rewards those that seek Him. So how do you increase your faith? Tony Evans tells the story of his grandson as he was growing up, and he said he would set him on a table or something high, and he would say, jump. And his grandson, no, I won't. And finally he would convince him, and he's like, he would pick up one foot just a little bit, and he would just lean and just kind of drop into your arms. And he said, next he would get just a little bit off. And he said, as it went on, he would begin to jump. And he said, now when he finishes preaching, his grandson will run up onto the stage and like, Papa, I'm jumping. And he said, he jumps almost before I'm ready. But it shows us a picture of how God is that Father, and He's waiting to catch us. Our faith is small, maybe small, but it needs to grow. I have 7 ways that we can grow in faith. First one I have is align your will under His will. Sin erodes faith in God and causes one to feel that they have lost God's love. When one feels ashamed, they begin to avoid God, as Adam and Eve did in the garden. These feelings will drive us away from faith in God's word. To build one's faith, we must repent and confess our sin, acknowledge God's holiness, and line our plans under His word, under His sovereignty. Number 2, remember God's faithfulness. Some of you were here the other Sunday evening, and if you weren't, you missed out on a good service. But as we went around, and as people shared how their prayers were answered, how God had answered prayer, hearing how God moved and answered prayer strengthens one's faith. Number 3, reflect on God's promises. Pray God's promises back to Him. Not that God doesn't need reminding of His promises, but we need reminding of what God has promised. Number 4, trust God's plans. When we receive bad news and come face to face with bad circumstances, it can shake us to our core and fear can set in. Let us remember God is in control and knows our future, and He will carry you through. Jeremiah 29:11-13, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart." Number 5, I have set aside time to listen. Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Our lives are full of things that demand our attention and drain our time. Instead of music, how about listening to God's word, or give up social media time to spend time in God's word? If we are not careful, these will quickly distract and steal our time. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things." Number 6, ask God to increase your faith. In Luke 17:5, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. They saw his miracles. They listened to his teachings first. They listened to his teachings firsthand, yet they asked for more faith to fulfill the Lord's will. How much more do you and I need faith to fulfill God's will? Ask the Lord to increase your faith ask the Lord to increase your faith to the measure you need to fulfill his will in your life. Number 7, read and memorize God's word. There are a lot of things in the hearts and minds of people today that will serve no purpose in hard times. We need God's word as a pillar of fire, just as the children of Israel did, to guide us through the dark and difficult times. In closing, the writer of Hebrews, after reminding the current believers of what others had gone through and how they had stood and how they had remained strong, he went on to say this in Hebrews 12, the first two verses. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood." May you be encouraged as you exercise and grow in faith, that you would allow God to lead you, trust him, believe him. And in Hebrews 13:20-21 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought you again from the dead, Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." May God give you strength, and God give you, in whatever you're facing, whatever you will face, as we trust him, God will give us strength to walk. And the same as with each of these in Hebrews 11, as they look forward to a place and a promise that God had given to them, as we walk through this life, we also look for that same promise and that same country as they were seeking. Brian, do you have a song? All right. You can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, this morning, again, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for the examples we have in your word as we look into the men and women in this chapter and how they stood for you and how they believed and trusted in you. And God, I just pray that you would give us that faith and trust. And we ask you to give us that faith that we need to accomplish the plans that you have for each one of us in our lives. Father, this week as we go from here and we go through this week, may you direct our paths and just give us, in whatever we may face, whether good or whether it may be hard times, Father, I just pray that you would give us the strength to face those, and we give you the glory for walking with us and for giving us that strength. May you bless each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen.